in our modern society. Observes historian Arthur Schlesinger, it is marked by inextinguishable discontent. He writes this, we tend to be never satisfied. We want a better job with better pay and a better boss. We want better relationships and a better car and a better backhand in tennis or a longer drive in golf. We are never satisfied, never content. Today we're going to wrap up our series in the book of Philippians that I've titled Be Joyful. And as Paul closes this letter, as he's writing, he thinks about his dear friends in the Philippian church. And he's going to talk about a virtue that is so missing in today's modern world. And that is contentment. Contentment. So, grace and peace to you from the Lord, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so as Paul draws to his close here, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. And he's going to share some very heartfelt feelings of gratitude to his dear Philippian church members. He struggles with the right words to use. For you see, he does not want to be misunderstood. He does not want to be misunderstood. For you see, the Philippian church members passed the hat back in Philippi. He's in jail about 1,000 miles away. They passed the hat in Philippi, and they came up with a rather sizable offering to send his way through Epaphroditus. And so Paul wants to thank them without coming across that he is encouraging them to please send more money to him. And he does it with grace and skill as he walks this tightrope. And he uses his comments to provide a powerful teaching moment. And using a reference to his own particular situation at the time, he talks about what true Christian contentment is really all about. We're going to begin in the last part of verse 11, which he basically shares, I have learned the secret. I have learned to be content, rather, whatever the circumstances. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Now, contentment, ladies and gentlemen, is not a natural human virtue. As sinnerlings, we come from the womb very selfish, and we go on to live lives desiring more and more, and enough is rarely enough for us. But Paul goes on to share some biographical material, how he had learned to be content. It wasn't natural, but he had learned to be content. Let's look at verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul had experienced both extremes in life. As a Pharisee, educated, and a member of the Sanhedrin, which was like the Jewish Supreme Court, he would have had a salary that is commensurate to today's mid six-figure income. He knew what it was like to have plenty. But at the writing of this letter, he's sitting in jail, and he is so destitute that he doesn't even have a coat to keep him warm during cold weather. But he did have something that was really, really valuable. He had learned the secret of being content. And not everyone has found that secret. Well, he goes on, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that's quite a claim, isn't it? I can do everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can we really do all things through Christ? Can we really? Well, I would like to suggest that we cannot. Let me explain. Can God keep you and me from getting gray hair? It seems to me like the God who created people and created hair follicles, it was his idea. Seems like that God, if we were to claim this promise, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, that we could claim this promise and keep from getting gray hair. Now I know with Clairol's help, we can keep from getting gray hair. But naturally, can we keep from getting gray hair? Well, I think this side of heaven, the answer would be no. When Jesus comes in the clouds and raises us immortal, I'd like to think that we're all of us, going to have the rich, dark hair of a 20-year-old. But that is at the second coming. There are certain things that God does not choose to do because he is working through sinful humanity. And we don't put away sinful humanity until the second coming when we are raised immortal. So yes, there are certain things that God chooses not to do. So you can't pray this prayer and expect $1 million or a new car or whatever it is that you want to claim as a promise. There are certain things that we cannot have done by God. The promise of all things and anything is really made in reference to what he's been talking about before. And when we look at this as a package, it makes a lot more sense. This is what the Clear Word Bible says with verse 13. I can face any situation with Christ who gives me strength. And Paul had proved that. He's sitting in jail with a possible death sentence hanging in front of him when he goes to trial. But yet he can say, I am content, I have peace, I have joy in all circumstances. I can face any situation with Christ who gives me strength. And we should feel the exact same way. The secret to being content in all circumstances is living a life that puts Jesus Christ first and last and best. Paul could have joy and peace and contentment in any situation because he knew Jesus. He knew his Redeemer. And he knew that he had salvation full and complete. And he knew that his eternity was secure. Contentment is an inward condition of the heart. It doesn't have anything to do with what's going on outside. It's an inward decision, a condition of the heart. Contentment remembers that we brought nothing into the world and we're not going to take anything out of the world. Contentment is by faith believing that God is bigger than any difficulty or challenge that we are facing. Contentment believes that our God is a good God. A good, good God, and that he desires our good, and he will supply every need that we have. That is what contentment is, Christian contentment. Now, we're not going to look at these verses in detail. You can read them on your own. But verses 14 through the first part of 18, Paul affirms the Philippian church for being so very generous. He tells them that they were the only church of all the churches that he had pastored that really demonstrated a kind of concern and generosity toward him by taking up an offering and trying to help him out. None of the other churches did that. And he is so thankful for their generosity. And that's why he felt such a special bond to the Philippian church. In the last part of verse 18, Paul uses a really sweet description of these Philippian believers. And he says, the gifts you sent are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And so he says, giving to God's servant is a pleasing offering, a sweet-smelling offering to God. And I'm here to tell you that we who are full-time gospel minister pastors are so thankful for the generosity of people who give to the gospel work. In fact, there's a verse in the New Testament. The Old Testament worked in the same way. The priests could give all of their focus to the temple plan, and they were sustained by the gifts of the people. In the New Testament, it says this as a principle, same principle. The Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. When Paul first began his work as an evangelist and pastor, he was bivocational. He was a tent maker. He sewed tents up to make a living, and in the rest of the time that he had, his waking hours at least, he spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have known some bivocational pastors, and my hat is off to them. I think that's a very difficult thing to do. I am so very thankful that I don't have to be a bivocational pastor and to make my living in another way than the preaching of the gospel. That would be very frustrating to be able to do. In fact, it is actually a no-no, illegal, for a Seventh-day Adventist pastor to moonlight and have another job, another source of income. And I, for one, think that makes all the sense in the world. We as pastors should give ourselves fully to the work of the gospel and shouldn't be building a house for money on the side or be in a multi-level scheme, money-making scheme on the side, or sell insurance or whatever the source of income. Give ourselves fully to the work of the gospel. And I'm so very glad that the Seventh-day Adventist Church discourages its ministers from having any moonlighting going on to supplement their income from the preaching of the gospel. Paul ends this section with a very positive and encouraging message. He says this in verse 19. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. From his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. He said, just as God supplied my needs through your gifts, so God will take care of you. Please notice, ladies and gentlemen, that the promise is that God will supply all our needs, not all our greeds. The Bible never promises to supply our greeds, but our needs, that which is necessary. And this is a precious promise, that we can trust our lives into God's hand, and what he needs, we don't have to worry about it. I mean, what he needs will be provided. What a way to have joy and peace and contentment, to be able to trust God that explicitly, like a young child trusts their parents to provide food and clothing and shelter and never worries about a thing. That is true contentment. To such a good God who is working for our lives to accomplish his plan, we should be able to exclaim like Paul did in verse 20. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. And I wish you would go and ever and ever. Amen. To God, now to God our Father, be glory now and forever. And I love how this emphasis is, because it puts the glory on God and it puts the emphasis on Him. And what a way to end the book. There is actually three verses after this part, and you'll have to be on your own to check them out. They're interesting verses. But this is how I want to end up the book of Philippians, giving God all the honor and glory. And I hope by studying this incredible little book that you've just been able to trust God a little more, that you've had a little more of God's joy in your life, a little more peace, and yes, even a little more contentment as a result of reading this wonderful, encouraging book. So my question to you, have you learned the secret of contentment? No, you were not born knowing that secret. It's something that has to be spiritually discovered. Have you learned the secret of joy and contentment? It is not a natural virtue, but that is, it is one that is given by the Holy Spirit as we submit our lives to God, and He does a work and makes us a new creature, transforming our heart. An attitude of contentment can make all the difference in our lives. Amen. The story is told of a missionary a number of years ago who went to minister to a leper colony on the Caribbean island of Tobago. And this missionary was musical, and he brought his guitar, and he loved to sing songs with the people that he spoke to about Jesus. And as he was leading these lepers, many of them had a Christian background, as he was leading these lepers in the singing of songs, he finished a song and he just felt spontaneously like saying, "Does anyone have a favorite song that you would like to request? If I know it, we'll sing it." And he heard a soft female voice on the side of the group say, "I have a favorite song." And he turned and he looked into the most disfigured face that he had ever seen in his entire life. This lady had no ears. She did not have a nose. Her lips had been eaten away by the dreaded disease of leprosy. She raised a fingerless hand and asked, "Could we please sing Count Your Many Blessings? Name them one by one." The missionary started the song, but he couldn't finish it. And someone later commented to him, "I suppose that you never ever sang that song again." And he responded, "Oh no, I'll sing it again. I'll just never sing it in the same way." Are we content? Are we content, really content? Whatever the circumstances, some of us have more, some of us have less, but are we content where God has placed us and what He's given us? Grace and peace and contentment to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The joy and contentment of the Lord is our strength. Let's pray. Father, it's a lie that Satan tells so many of us that we should not be content as we look over at someone else that has more than we do. And we get so wrapped up in accumulating things and comparing ourselves and wanting more. But Lord, teach us that if we have Jesus, we have enough. We have everything we need. Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful book of Philippians that in your providence you saw to put in the Holy Bible. It has been such a blessing to me personally, and I hope that there are others that it has touched too. Lord, thank you for your word. May we not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Now, Lord, send us with your blessing. Thank you for being such a wonderful, good God. Lord, we want to live contentedly. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.